Time to catch up with our 98Q sports reporter, Mike Clemens, by now what's going on in the sports world. Mike, good morning to you.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
Hey, good. Thanks for joining us. The Big Easy last week down in New Orleans. How was the experience? Had you ever been there before, I guess, first of all?
Yeah, I've been to New Orleans two or three times.
Uh-huh.
I went down there as a family trip. I was like 16.
Yeah.
And probably pretty good-looking guy. My little brother was along. And
oh, yeah.
A very attractive young woman, probably in her early 20s, came up and she said hi and welcome and that kind of thing. And then she leaned over and said, "Would you like to party?" And I said, "Well, I was flattered. I'm with my little brother here." And it wasn't until about 2 hours later at dinner I realized what exactly she was talking about.
Well, my question is, did you continue the tradition? What about this past weekend?
No. I was that dumb and naive. I got my little brother here. He always trailed about a half block behind me. You know, always
sure.
wanted to be independent and everything.
Sure.
But yeah, that was my first experience there in the French Quarter.
Yeah.
But last week was great. I've been there two or three times, covered games.
Favorite cuisine at New Orleans?
There's three great restaurants. There's Brennan's for breakfast, which opened in 1941, and that's where they do the Bananas Foster, where they flambeau and Sherry's Jubilee, and you know the Eggs Benedict. Mm-hmm. Then there's Antoine's. That's been there like since the 1840s. That's where sometimes the presidents go.
Yeah.
And we managed to get a table for six on Sunday night, February 2nd, which actually was my birthday.
Nice.
At the Commander's Palace.
Wow.
And the Commander's Palace has been around since 1893. Started out as a small little restaurant, and the guy moved to its current location. And it went through a couple of different families. But then, remember Paul Prudhomme?
Paul Prudhomme, no.
Paul Prudhomme. He looked like Dom DeLuise. Did a lot of TV shows. Like
okay.
Dinah Shore and stuff like that.
Right.
A big, you know, he looked like the chef. He wore the chef's hat and the big black beard and everything.
Yeah.
And he became famous on TV like in the 70s or so. And then he went out and opened his own place, a smaller place. And he was replaced by a young man named Emeril Lagasse.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
So that's where Emeril started his career before then later.
Nice.
About 10, 12 years, he's opened up his own place, Emeril's. And so it's, you know, this place has got that kind of history. So it's, I went ahead with what you do. I got turtle soup to start off.
Nice.
Which is actually excellent. Tasted kind of like chili.
Mm-hmm.
And a wonderful salad. I got the Texas quail. Beautiful, you know, little like Cornish game hen type of thing.
Yeah.
With sauces. And then we got the Bananas Foster where they flambeau the bananas there at the table. So we start off the week great that way, and it's just every day there's something going on. And it's not just the game where you get these great stories from these players. You talk to Zach Bond, you know, mm-hmm. the Madison, the Wisconsin Badgers middle linebacker, went to the Saints, and now Vic Fangio's put him in the middle linebacker position. The guy isn't being an all-pro and gets another pick like he did against the Packers. You talk to Leo Chanel, who grew up in Grantsburg, Wisconsin, then played for the Badgers and now is with the Chiefs. You just get these great backstories. And
game day,
I'm walking up there on the third floor, getting through all the security, and I'm like in the concourse. I'm sort of looking for where I'm supposed to go, and I see an entourage, maybe two or three people walking by. It's like, God, that kind of looked like Paul McCartney. And they kind of turned the corner and went through a corridor, and so later we're sitting in our seats and look up at the scoreboard, and they got Paul McCartney on the scoreboard.
There he is, yeah.
So there he is. You know, they got about him, and they got Kevin Hart, the comedian, and they got Kevin Costner, you know, from Yellowstone and, you know, Field of Dreams. And sitting next to him is Pete Davidson from Saturday Night Live. And it's like, one of these things doesn't belong up
there. Yeah, well, the whole week has become because these celebrities get paid to go endorse products at these events. There's a radio row. So it's become a several days just where all the celebrities go, right? Because a lot of them are being paid to be there by certain entities, right?
Former players. And that's the interviews that we get there, too. You know, like here's Steve Young, and he's talking about the Heart Association this week, some cause that's near and dear to his heart. But, mm-hmm. you know, they're probably getting about $50,000 to fly in. They put them up in a hotel room. They go to a couple of sponsors' dinners. They hit about 20 stations or interviews a day. Now it's changed. It's shifted. And some of it, you know, some of those guys aren't coming anymore. They're doing Zoom calls, or they're getting in their 70s or 80s or something like that, like the Lombardi era players.
Yeah.
So that part's changed, but a lot of social media people there these days getting credentialed somehow.
Exactly. Well, the game was a dud, and not too often we get a dominance like this, but the Eagles' defensive line just crushed the Chiefs. I'm just absolutely crushed the Chiefs.
At halftime, I got up and I talked to some of my football colleagues that I talked to around the country. I go, "What do you think?" And they say, "Defensive line." I go, right, yeah. And what we couldn't get over is like, Vic Fangio, the defensive coordinator for the Eagles, not running any stunts, Joel. No, just four guys, hand in the dirt. Maybe he was coaching them like, hit this guy on his right shoulder, his left shoulder. But it was just straight ahead where they're able to contain the Chiefs' running game, contain Patrick Mahomes, but speed up the clock, and then you drop seven, and Mahomes is back there, and he's got nobody to throw to. And they got through the whole game.
Yeah, and so many times, Mahomes, so many times he dropped back to pass. He saw his offensive lineman between him and the defensive lineman, but the defensive lineman would take that offensive lineman and just shove him right back into Mahomes. A couple of times Mahomes got hit and almost sacked because his own guy got thrown into him.
And Jalen Carter, I mean, that guy is, he's in his second year. I mean, he's just huge, and he can take two offensive linemen and throw them around like rag dolls, and he certainly performed that game as well. And then the thing, Roger Goodell, man, it's like, how do you beat last year's numbers between the Chiefs and the 49ers in a close game?
He did.
And, 123 million more than Apollo 11 was watched. They 127 is the final number from Nielsen. Yeah. 127 million. Most watched TV show. And it spiked at one point during that halftime show with the rapper Kendrick Lamar at 133 million. So, yeah. The sponsors. I don't know if $7 million a commercial is worth it or not, but they got the viewership.
Average size of the offensive line for Philadelphia was like 330 pounds. They said in Super Bowl I, the average offensive lineman weight was about 100 pounds less than that.
Yeah, in other words, that was like the left side of the Packers offensive line.
That's crazy. Let's talk about the Bucks because they're hurt. Dame and Giannis both banged up, but I think I feel confident. I'm a Timberwolves fan, but I've watched the Bucks a lot. That if they can get those two healthy, even with Middleton gone, they can be there. They can make a little run, maybe not win it all, but they're good enough, right?
It was about like six games ago that right before the start of the game, Giannis pulled up and said, "I don't know." And you thought maybe he's just being on the careful side. It turns out he did, in fact, strain his left calf muscle, and he's missed the last six games, and he's not going to play this weekend because he wants to get ready for the second half of the Bucks season. Damian Lillard, who rested the other night, he's got a bunch of little injuries like a hamstring here and that kind of thing. He's going to play. And he explained why yesterday to the Bucks media I didn't know this. So he's a 9-year-old kid growing up in Oakland, and his dad somehow scraped together the money to get them in and go to the All-Star game, which was at the Oakland Arena that year in 2000. To see guys like Tim Duncan and Shaquille O'Neal, who were like the game MVPs.
Mm-hmm.
Here's this 9-year-old kid with big eyes and wants to be a basketball player someday and already showed some skill. And they went to all the different exhibits. They went to all the different competitions and the game itself. And he said, "This means so much to me now to come back to the Bay Area." The game's going to be in San Francisco, but he's going to have all kinds of friends and family and people that saw him grow up there back in the day. And so he will participate in the three-point competition tomorrow night, and the game is Sunday night in San Fran.
Yeah, the backstories of some of these NBA players is very interesting to listen to. That is for sure. And the Badgers, let's talk a little Badgers, because they're quietly having a pretty darn good year. They're having a good year.
They are. And one guy that noticed was Jim Rome, the national talk show host. Do you know that Jim Rome spends his summer in Wisconsin every year?
I knew there was a Wisconsin link there because I heard a podcast interview with him a couple weeks ago. Yeah,
yeah, I think it's the Eagle River, right? That's where they usually go.
Yeah, I think so.
Didn't one of his kids go to UW-Madison? So they love Wisconsin in the summertime, coming in from L.A., and so Jim Rome has noticed that, too. Like, geez, these Wisconsin Badgers, they weren't even ranked at the start of the season. Now they're up to 16. They're winning 3 out of 4 games in the Big Ten. And he asked Greg Gard, how are you doing it? And Greg pretty much gave the answer that he's told the local media when he has his press conferences in Madison, is like, look, we went into this year saying, you know, how do we survive in this transfer portal area where anybody seems they can leave at the drop of a hat? Mm-hmm. And so they went out of their way to assemble a roster where they had all the bases covered. And you know, if one guy drops, this one can fill in and do that. And so they felt that they'd really stressed balance over maybe necessarily, oh, let's get three or four of these shooters. And then these guys have gelled, and they've listened to the coaching, and they've bought in, and, you know, they've improved as the weeks go on. Now, tomorrow is a big test because they're ranked 16th. They're taking on number 7th rank Purdue, the Boilermakers, in West Lafayette. So that'll be a tip-off is at noon, and that's going to be an interesting game to see just where the Badgers are between now and when you head into March Madness.
Yeah, with the transfer portal, like you said, every year is a reset, it seems like, for almost every team. And when are we going to rename the Big Ten to the Big 18 there, Mike? Can we?
Don't get me started
18
on
teams.
That, but I'll tell you what. You know what? So one of the guys that we get to talk to, you turn around, there's Drew Rosenhaus, and the agent.
Yeah.
At Super Bowl. And you sit down at a table and talk to him, and he's like, they've got to get general managers, and they've got to get, you know, they've got to adapt some NFL rules. Because even as agents, you know, and it's the Wild West, and mm-hmm. We don't know what's going on. But there was, you know, you and I talked about this earlier this year. There was the 75-year-old coach who stepped down in the middle of the season for the Miami Hurricanes, who said, I just had a kid in my office last week with an agent who said, we're not coming here if you don't start at $1.1 million. They said, this is college basketball. Where am I supposed to get that money?
Yeah.
For one player, $1.1 million?
It's still hard for me to watch college sports and realize that there's kids on the field and on the court that are already millionaires. It's not a bad thing. We just need to find a way to regulate it, right?
Well, and I would hope at some point, in this offseason, the NCAA is going to talk about, okay, you have to sign a contract. You have to be the team has to count on you for the next 4 years.
Exactly. Mike, it's always good to talk to you. Thank you so much. We look forward to chatting with you again next Friday.
Have a good week. I got to go shovel now.
All right. Good luck. Thanks, Mike. Thanks, Mike Clemens. He's back in Wisconsin after being in New Orleans last week.